Welcome back to Faith in the Fire, Lessons from the Wilderness. I am so glad you're here. My name is James McGinnis, and I am your host. So today, our message is titled, The Power of Obedience in Dry Seasons. Because sometimes, obedience feels like walking through a desert. It's dry, it's lonely, and confusing. But let me tell you, that's when obedience matters the most. What is a dry season? We've all experienced it. We've all gone through a dry season. So let's start here. Have you ever felt spiritually dry? Like you're praying, not hearing much? You're serving, but feeling empty? You're obeying, but not seeing results? That's what we call a dry season, a time when it seems like nothing you're doing is working. And the wild thing is, some of the most faithful people in Scripture went through dry seasons. Let's look at this. So David was anointed king. The funny thing is that our church is going through, you know, 1 and 2 Samuel right now, and we've seen a lot of what's going on with David. He was anointed king, and then he ran for his life in the wilderness, in a cave. Jesus himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness before the beginning of his ministry. So let me say this clearly. A dry season doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. Sometimes it means you're exactly where God wants you to be. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Isn't that what the Bible says? Absolutely. Obedience when it doesn't make sense. So let's take a look at a scripture. Let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 2 to 7. So, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. Like, catch that. God tells Elijah to go into hiding and trust that ravens would bring him food. Interesting. That's not a strategy that makes sense on paper. If we think about it today, we're going to wait for ravens to bring us food. It does remind me of a story I heard a while ago. And this is a pastor that I knew a while ago. He passed away. But a long time ago, back in the early 80s, he just trusted God. He trusted God so much with what God was telling him to do, to open a church, to find a place. And he needed money. He needed a certain amount of money. Now, this is back in the early 80s, so obviously didn't need as much. But, you know, he needed something. I forget the exact amount. And he trusted God. And one day he was walking a property he was looking at, and he was praying, and you know, like the raven, God sends things in funny ways. And this dog, a stray dog, comes in with a paper bag and walks over to him. And in the bag was the exact amount of money that he needed to get the property. It was like, what? I think that's kind of strange, but God knows what he's doing. And when it comes to Elijah, he obeyed. And guess what? It worked until the brook dried up. So he went to hide in the ravine and drank from the brook, and the ravens were directed to supply food for him. God calls us to places that test our trust, to routines that seem barren, empty, to obedience that feels inconvenient. Do you know that sometimes God inconveniences us because our first thoughts a lot of times are ourselves and our minds, and God works in ways outside of our thoughts, right? Here's the secret. Every dry place has a purpose. So, why does obedience matter more than emotion? A lot of us are emotion-driven. A lot of us are just driven that way, that we react and we respond emotionally. So let me ask you this question. What do you do when you don't feel inspired? Do you still worship? Do you still pray? Do you still read? Obedience isn't about feelings. No, it's about faithfulness. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks a lot about those who were faithful. In Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it talks about Abraham and many, many of the Old Testament prophets and men of God that we even talked about in this podcast. And they just did what God told them. It was faithfulness, obedience. Abraham, he obeyed. Didn't it make sense to leave, take his whole family, everybody, leave to a different country? They didn't know what to expect. Nothing. But he obeyed, and it was counted to him for righteousness because he was faithful. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you feel good, obey. You know, have you been in the place where you know you need to go to church and you just feel tired and like you don't want to get up and go? That's dry, right? And you know you have to go. So are you obedient to go? Or do you just give in to your emotion? It's easy. I know. I've done it. I get tired. But do you give in to your emotion? When you have to do something. So now let's look at that scripture again. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, love is not something that you have to. Here's the thing. You don't love when you feel like it. You don't love when everything's going your way. Do you love God only when things are good? Or do you love God when things are good and things are bad? See, if you feel good, obey. He didn't say that. No, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, obey. That's the test of a mature believer. Can you worship even when you're dry? Can you lift your hands and surrender and praise him? It's hard. It's like lifting humongous weights. Can you tithe when money is tight? A lot of us have been in that one, right? Oh, my goodness. And I think it's the attitude of the heart. It's, oh, if I have something left over. But really, it's give God your best, and he will bless the rest. Can you forgive when it still hurts? Oof. I think that one's like hitting a nail, right? Can you forgive when it hurts, still hurts? Yeah, absolutely. We're supposed to. He never said that when you forgive, it's going to feel good. It's obedience, right? Can you obey when there's no applause? So can you do what God tells you to do even when you know there's going to be opposition or people aren't going to be like cheering for you? Many times you are going to go against the norm because you're obedient to God. God's ways are not our ways, right? In dry seasons, your obedience becomes your offering. So let's look at this. What obedience unlocks in the spirit? Wow. Here's the truth. Obedience may not change your circumstance immediately, but it shifts your spirit. Let's go back to Elijah. The brook dried up. Now, he could have panicked. Oh my goodness, the brook dried up. What am I going to do? There's no water. Oh. But because he stayed obedient, God spoke again. Listen. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. That's in 1 Kings 17, 8-9. That is a great scripture. And we know that God didn't forget Elijah. But God wasn't done with Elijah yet, was he? No. He had a plan for the next provision. But it required, listen to this, continued obedience. Just because you're obedient to one thing, does it mean, oh man, thank God I'm done? No, it's continuous. Obedience doesn't guarantee comfort. We can't get comfortable in serving God all the time. Yeah, he gives us rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. But there are times of being uncomfortable. Now, it does guarantee alignment with God's next move. See, if you're in alignment with God, we know how things are when they're out of alignment. So how many of you drive a car? How many of you, if you drove around with wheels that were misaligned, you wouldn't get very far, would you? No. You need to have alignment. You need to be synchronous. You need to be in sync together. If Elijah had stayed by the dried up brook, waiting for the old method to work again, he would have missed the widow. So let's hear that. If Elijah had stayed by the dried up brook, waiting for the old method to work again, he would have missed the widow. So let me ask you this question. Let's just say this. Let me reword this. Stop waiting for God to move the same way he did before. Your obedience is the key to a new thing. So if God blessed you in a certain way before in the past, or you saw a healing, you saw a miracle, you just saw God move in a tremendous way in your life, does it mean he'll do the exact same thing again? Or will he do something different and something better? Obedience is the key to the next new thing. So, how do we stay obedient in the wilderness? Well, if you're in a dry place right now, here's a few ways to walk in obedience. Let's look at these things. Let me give them to you. One, stick to God's last word. If you haven't heard anything new, if you haven't heard anything new, obey the last instruction he gave. God honors faithfulness even when the voice goes quiet. See, God's words do not return void. If God said it, he's faithful, right? Number two, worship anyway. Worship shifts the atmosphere. When you're in a worship service where the worship is just moving to God and there's a hunger and there's unity and everyone's worshiping in one accord, it shifts the atmosphere. It shifts what's happening inside of people. It reminds your soul who's still on the throne, even when your brook is dry, even when you feel, you feel like, I don't want to do this. I'm so tired. I'm weak. No, but when you do that and you surrender, when you worship, you lift your hands, you surrender, you give it to God. God can take that. That's obedience. So I lift up my hands and praise you again and again. And sometimes all you can say is, hallelujah. Oof. Number three, stay in community. Don't isolate. Oh, in dry seasons, they're dangerous when we do life alone. So I know that many of us experienced very difficult times in 2020 during COVID. That was a dry season of isolation. Many of us didn't have the churches. Many of us were not with, you know, Calvary, didn't have the, you know, the online or live stream where you could get part of the church. But, you know, it's not good to isolate and be alone. They're dangerous when we do life alone. We can't do life alone. We're meant for fellowship. Elijah ended up in the care of someone else. Sometimes obedience means accepting help. Number four, journal the journey. Ooh, it's so important. In the book of Habakkuk, it says to write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Just write it down and wait for it. Pray for it. God will bring it to pass. Doesn't mean you write down your, you know, give me a mansion or give me a house by the beach or give me a car or a boat, a plane. You know, it's not talking about that. It's just saying write down the things that God's doing. Write down the little things. Write down how God's taking you through the journey. It is just showing gratitude for the things God's doing and you're feeling, whether it's good or bad. You write down the things God's doing. It's for your benefit. And God can use that as a testimony. Gratitude is a weapon in the wilderness. So, let's look at this next part. This is really good. Going from obedience to overflow. See, obedience in dry seasons prepares you for overflow in due season. Let's go back to Elijah. He seems very popular today, right? Amen. But when he obeyed and went to Zarephath, he met a widow with just enough flour and oil to feed her son and die. It's interesting how Elijah obeyed God for him, his life, and ended up going to someone that needed God and needed that direction. His obedience, Elijah's obedience by going there, unlocked a miracle. Remember 1 Kings 17:16? The jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry. Do you remember that story? The widow did as Elijah commanded. She went and got all the oil she could in those jugs and the flour, and it did not run dry. And she fed Elijah and she had enough, and she sold enough to pay up all her debts and not die, and her son, I mean, it's like, it's just a miracle. And it's all because of one man's obedience. You have no idea sometimes that your obedience can cause a miracle for somebody else, too. Your obedience can bless somebody else. Do you understand? It doesn't just bless you, it blesses those connected to you. That's the legacy of faith. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, we come to you from dry places, confused, weary, and unsure. But we choose to obey. We choose to walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that even when we don't feel you, you are near. Give us the strength to obey in silence, the courage to trust in the waiting, and the endurance to walk forward when the road is hard. Use our obedience to shape us, prepare us, and release blessing in your perfect time. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, obedience is powerful, not because of what it gets you, but because of who it keeps you close to. Dry seasons don't last forever, but obedient hearts are always filled. Even when the brook dries up, God's presence doesn't. Thank you for joining me today on Faith in the Fire. If this episode encouraged you, please share it with someone walking through their own dry season. And remember, obedience today builds the foundation for breakthrough tomorrow. Until the next time, keep the faith. even in the fire.